Well, here we are, back together for a new congregational year, for new religious education classes, for a new small group program. Welcome back to a year where we will honor the traditions of the past and yet work together to plan the future of UUFSD. And I say welcome back, but as I do every year, I return to the pulpit where, although much looks the same, even though the passage of time has been relatively short, many, many things have changed. For one thing, for the millionth time this summer, I have discovered that I am human. In fact, it happens on a pretty frequent basis. This summer, I had a strong sense that I have more of my life behind me than I have ahead of me. This summer, I begrudgingly came to realize that I need to give up hope of ever losing those 20 pounds. And more importantly, this summer, I've had many days where the news has brought me to a place of despair rather than a place of hope. This summer, I've been deeply in touch with some of the human longings that I believe bring people to try out a congregation like ours. The need for connection, the desire for peace, a hope for a better future, trying to provide some grounding for their children, and a deep desire to love and be loved. My connection to all of this was one of the reasons that my trip to our General Assembly this year was particularly meaningful. I left here in June, as I always do. I traveled to General Assembly. This year, General Assembly was in Providence, Rhode Island. It was interesting and unique, like all General Assemblies are, which is why I'm going to encourage all of you to go to the General Assembly in Portland next June. I had many profound, wonderful, and thought-provoking experiences. And this year's GA theme was Love Reaches Out. Love Reaches Out. It was a theme that I increasingly needed to hear as we dove back into a summer filled with historic drought, ISIS, Ferguson, Missouri, the backlash in a nation of immigrants towards children needing refuge from a storm, the battles of the Middle East, and the increasingly frightening realities of the climate crisis. It's so easy to get swept away by all of that, something that I will be talking more about in sermons to come, but this summer it seemed to consume the news and almost everyone I know. It's important in times like this that we seek and find moments to fill us with inspiration, hope, or spirit, or whatever is life-giving. This happened to me when love reached out from the lectern at General Assembly in the words, strangely enough, of a Catholic nun, Sister Simone Campbell, who was the keynote speaker for the WARE lecture series, W-A-R-E. This series has included such folks as Jesse Jackson, Daniel Ellsberg, Van Jones, Kurt Vonnegut, and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In the UUA President Morales' introduction, he said, Sister Simone is one of America's most articulate and effective advocates for compassionate public policy. Sister Simone is a religious leader, an attorney, and a poet who's been a passionate spokesperson for immigration reform, economic justice, and health care. 2 years ago, she was instrumental in organizing the Nuns on the Bus tour. I picture people in those habits like the Flying Nun. As a way of drawing attention to the effects of the Ryan budget on people in need. Last year, she led a cross-country Nuns on the Bus tour focused on comprehensive immigration reform. I'm deeply indebted to those who use their actions and words to inspire good in the world, and I know I need to hear it. I need to hear good news Sunday. I need to hear it. She fulfilled this need in a way that has really stuck with me. And I recommend that if you have time, go to the UUA WARE lecture site and listen to it. It is well worth it. For whatever charge any of us have with traditional religion, or words like spiritual, or prayer, or divine, or God, I have really come to embrace the word faith. I'm a minister in this faith tradition with a long and meaningful history, and I have to believe that my faith in the power of love and goodness has made a difference in me and can make an even bigger difference. And Sister Simone started with talking about faith and the difference it could make. And she said, "This afternoon, I'd like to reflect with you on the journey of faith as walking towards trouble. Because when I was on that first bus trip, the Bill Moyers program, actually it was Judith Moyers, Bill's wife, who saw that it was going to be something, insisted to Bill that he send a full-time videographer on the bus. And Andy Fredericks was our videographer, and he was interviewing me, and we were almost done with the trip, and he asked me this question. He said, "Sister Simone, it seems like whenever there's trouble, you walk towards it. Most people run away." And I got thinking about that, she said, and I realized that all of our spiritual leaders, when there are broken hearts or pain in the world, they have walked towards it. They walk towards pain in order to embrace it, to touch it, to heal. Now that means if high-level leaders do that, isn't that my witness to follow their lead? And since she said that, I thought about people of faith who've influenced me in my lifetime, and I got what she said. Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, John Lewis, Cesar Chavez, Rosa Parks, Coretta Scott King all walked towards trouble, toward pain, toward injustice. And in fact, they leaned into it, knowing that it would be a risk to their mind and body and health and spirit. And listening to Sister Simone, I could tell that this just wasn't strategy. It was a calling from a place of our shared longing. It was a place of significant risk. And she told us, but what you have to do is you have to let it sink from the head down into the heart. And if you're going to walk towards trouble, one of the first troubles you have to walk towards is what she refers to as holy doubt. Holy doubt is an essential element of holy faith, she said. If we do not reverence our doubt, then we become the measure of control of God, of living in our world, trying to hold on and control everything. When you walk towards trouble, you open, my experience is, she said, and that I open myself to questions, to uncertainty, to risk, to knowing that I am not the measure of control in any given situation. It is critical in our world at this time that we have the courage to walk into doubt as much as we walk into faith. Because quite frankly, she said, if we don't have doubt, we don't have faith if the only thing we have is certitude. I mean, the absence of doubt with faith is certitude. And that leaves us in a very righteous position. Walking towards trouble means we're willing to open ourselves to surprise, to 100% who have a different story, to different perspectives. So Sister Simone said, the importance of being uncertain means that I live a life that is slightly disturbed. So as we walk towards trouble, as we walk to meet human need and pain and human healing, we walk with doubt and with the risk of the unknown, and to me, that is the edge. The edge is our theme this month in worship. The edge is that place where doubt meets faith, that place of leaving certitude behind. That is the edge, and the edge is a place where we find discomfort, and the edge is also a place where we find growth. This summer has led me to the edge in many ways. I'm afraid that business as usual will no longer work. Although I understand that we will continue to do the things we do, this summer was a serious reminder that we are in urgent need of creative solutions and activities. We are at the edge of crisis of how we live together on this planet and with this planet. I am deeply worried about the growing climate crisis and our ability to rise up now to make a difference. I'm at the edge when it comes to the struggle of fundamentalism versus reason. We are on the edge of how we practice religion in this world, and fundamentalism is growing in opposition to fundamentalism. And that response worries me as much as the original problem. I'm on the edge when I think about our government's inability to get together and solve problems. I'm on the edge with how we can learn to live with, let alone love and embrace, those who are different in our community than we are. And I'm on the edge regarding Unitarian Universalism as it has been practiced for the last 50 years. I'm on the edge about its relevancy as we struggle to understand how we meet the needs of a growing discomfort with traditional religions and new generations of people defining community in much different ways than we have defined religious community in the past, and in very different ways than the times and communities that many of our congregations were born to serve. So this brings us to the third part of today's sermon title, which is how we reach out and love. Reaching out in love implies moving beyond our traditional borders, including the borders we have placed around meeting our own individual needs, and radically reaching out to those who may be searching for whatever we have found here and what we may be able to offer the world, including those who are needing to find help for their human longings. Reaching out in love was the theme of General Assembly this year, and it really struck me deeply. And it made me wonder what reaching out in love means. First of all, it's about reaching out past the edge of our traditional comfort as individuals and as congregations. It's totally understandable that we look for hope and comfort in our community. But reaching out in love can challenge that equilibrium. So we must think about radically reaching out in love that can also challenge the systems and structures that have brought us all to Ferguson, Missouri, that deny and complicate our climate crisis, that continue the political stalemate in Washington, and feeds the growth of fundamentalism as it threatens long-term peace. We must reach out beyond the traditional edges and challenge those systems and structures. And I know that's hard to do for us. So over the next 4 weeks, I will also be exploring and reflecting how to crawl back from the edge when we're feeling like we're getting too close, how to care for ourselves and each other when the edge feels too scary, and how to deal with the unknown when we reach the edge and we don't know what comes next. There are times in our history, as Buckminster Fuller once said, that you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. So as you use in San Diego County, I believe this is one of those times where we need to work together past the edge and build a new model by reaching out to each other in San Diego. When we're struggling with how to evolve or adapt programs or systems or ways of doing things, we should be communicating and sharing ideas with other congregations, so not to tread ground that we've already covered. When we're reaching out to the world with the values and principles that we cherish to address the threats to our ecosystem, we should be mustering the strength of members throughout the county so more voices can be heard. When we stand with those who are oppressed due to sexual orientation, gender identity, immigration status, race, religion, or any other identity, we should be doing that arm in arm and shoulder to shoulder with Unitarian Universalists, other faith communities or partner organizations who may not share our faith, but certainly share in our values. And when we stand before the city council, like we did last year, there shouldn't be three people in the room. There should be 300. 300 standing against the forces of fear and wearing shirts that boldly state that we are willing to stand on the side of love with anyone. Of course, I wouldn't be here if I didn't still believe that I and we can make a difference in this community, in this world, because I believe we can. I truly believe we can. There's such a deep human longing for freedom and for peace, to connect and to be loved and to love. Sister Simone said that her version of faith challenges her to radically reach out and to radically accept everyone because, she says, every time I let my heart be broken open, I hear a new story. I hear something new. I heard something new from Jason the entrepreneur or Robin the clothing store worker. I hear something new from people in Margaret's family. Radically accepting also means that I hear something new from Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell. All the people I have on my mistake of God list, she writes. As people of faith walking towards trouble, we need to embrace them too, she says. Because what she has discovered is unless she holds them in her care, and unless, in her way of expressing it, she acknowledges the love of God in them, she says, I am at odds with the God in me. The challenge is to be open. In one of these moments where doubt meets faith this summer, I wrote this, which I titled, Don't Give Up. Instead of feeling overwhelmed today with the chaos and lack of love in the world, I am touched by the incredible efforts being put forth by so many. There's so much good. There's so much love. There's actually so much progress. We've come so far with so much more to go in what may be a shorter time than we think. Don't give up. Find sources of strength and sustenance. Be willing to appreciate tradition and yet be willing to let go of things the way they've always been done. Our time is craving creativity, calling for it like never before. Love and sustainability can still prevail as we continue to walk towards trouble, reach out in love, and stand together on the edge. My love and blessings to you all. It's so, so good to be together again. Amen, and may that be so.